I've been waiting my whole life for this one moment.
Check it out. You are tuned into Side B of Off the Record. We got a little bit more to say to y'all about absolutely nothing, because that is what we're about. I think we started out really heavy, and we just kind of progressively moved our way to the most heaviest of all topics.
We did.
Okay.
It finds its way.
Which was unfortunately the most tweeted about of all of our topics.
I'm just saying, man. I'm telling you, like, we dealt with the insane world of politics. We dealt with the circus show of what can be sports, and now we are going to deal with the very serious world of Kimye and Taylor Swift. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about receipts, okay? We are talking about receipts. We talked about receipts with the DNC. We talked about receipts off of Michael Jordan's money that he's giving out to these folks.
Oh, yeah, you got to get that write-off.
Got to get that write-off. And now we're talking about these receipts that one Kim Kardashian... Okay, of the Kardashian dynasty. Mm-hmm. Okay, she has kept a receipt for a very long time. Man. Okay, so backtracking with this whole thing, right? There was an album called The Life of Pablo, which I very rarely listen to these days, but it was released by one Kanye West. You might have heard of him. On that album, I believe it was track number 4, maybe 5. I can't remember, but it was a song called Famous. In that song, he alleged. Not an alleged, but he ventured to say that I still feel like me and Taylor might still have sex.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he says, I made that be famous. Okay. The name of the song is called Famous. Now, that happened, and people, Kanye, the king of shock, okay, the provocateur himself.
The video itself, very interesting.
Oh, man. The video himself was crazy. Okay. Laying in a bed with a bunch of wax figures that are breathing. And it's him and Kanye and Kim and Amber Rose and Rihanna and Chris Brown and Donald Trump and Bill Cosby and Taylor Swift. It's everything that your eyes don't need to see. But nonetheless, does this song. But when he does the song, though, it catches a little flack, right? Because Taylor Swift comes out and she's in outrage.
Yeah.
Okay. She's upset. Okay. She's upset, you know, and she goes on further at when she wins the Grammy for Album of the Year over To Pimp a Butterfly, which I still have no idea what was going on there. But nonetheless, when she wins that Grammy, she takes some time at that award ceremony to talk about how a not so subtle shot at Kanye West, saying that there will be people in your life who try to take credit for what you accomplish. OK. And Kim Kardashian ended up saying that Kanye said it immediately after Taylor had initially expressed her distaste. She was like, yo, Taylor Swift has approved this. Like, I did this song.
Right.
I gave her the heads up.
I asked her
about it. She, you know, she gave it. OK, she says she didn't. Kim Kardashian said, oh, she did.
Oh, yeah.
And waited a good 6 months. Just sat on that thing. Sat on it. And for the, I don't know if it was her season debut of the show Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but it was a show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and it was on that show that she bothered to unveil the fact that she actually had recorded this conversation that Kanye had with Taylor Swift, where he did in fact read the lyrics for Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, hearing the lyrics, sounds relatively complimentary about all of it. She seems to say that, you know, she viewed it as a bit of a compliment.
Yeah.
She goes further to praise him for saying how cool it was that that she managed that he would call her about the lyric,
right.
You know. Yeah, man. And so now there seems to be a little bit of discrepancy around, like, who's upset about what exactly. I mean, she has said that the argument revolved a little bit around, like she's come out and said, like, the fact that you can't tell me how I can feel about someone calling me the B word or whatever. But then some people are pointing out the fact that you weren't objecting to the B word before. You were objecting about to the fact about, like, you know, taking credit for your work.
Yeah.
And then there's like this line about like, did he read the entire lyric to her, and did he leave a lyric out that was more the problematic part? I don't know, but it certainly has shown fragility in a real sense. And I think at bare minimum, people are at least side-eyeing Taylor a little bit on some like, yeah, the queen of acting shocked and surprised seems to have overplayed her hand a little bit.
Yeah,
that's all I got for the setup right now. Y'all take it away.
I just want to, I'm gonna pass it to Dan. I want to be removed from this narrative. The line of the century.
That was indeed Taylor Swift's response to
that was my favorite part. she said, being falsely painted as a liar when I was never given the full story or played any part of the song is character assassination. I would much like to be excluded from this narrative, one that I have never asked to be part of since 2009. So she's like, I never wanted none of this.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna play like you gonna act like you never, but you were just be seeing you on the phone. You talking with him, being real chummy.
Yeah.
So if you want none of this, why y'all chummy? You know what I mean? Why are you so happy to be on this record? You know, because we can see that happening from you. Like, good.
Is that your response?
Good. Listen, man, nobody ever believed that. Oh, I'm just so like nobody believes that. Like, I understand there's a certain level of humility that you want from certain people. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, come on, man. You don't want you ain't that humble all the time. You know what I mean? You can't be that surprised. You can't be all that. Like, nobody believes you.
Mm.
So we finally caught you in the fakeness, and now you want to sue him, or you're surprised. Like, you knew this was going to happen. Somebody, I don't know, man. It was just that line. I want to be excluded. I wish I could use that.
That was it. That was the.
I could use that in everyday life. From any narrative that I don't like that somebody wants to attribute to me.
That was the straw that broke the back for you. Was that line?
I like
right
to be
there.
Excluded from this. I'm sorry. I'm so done with T-Swizzle.
Oh, man. Now, Dan, now she was the creator of the greatest music video in the history of music videos. Okay, according to you. I'm not even sure if it was last year. It might have been earlier this year that the single for Bad Blood came out, or was that last year?
I think it was last year. I mean, at the time, yes, I still very much I was in a season. We talked about this a little bit off air.
Yes.
I remember a year ago caring deeply about people making good art,
right,
and making strides to make better art and push the limits of what is qualifies as a music video and so on and so forth, and pontificating about art in general. And I feel like our world has gotten so thrown off its axis that I can't remember the last time that I like listened to music, not just to like be an escape from this world and this moment, but actually like dig into it for art's sake. I just don't do that anymore because I'm so exhausted by the things going on in this world. So yes, very much a fan of that music video. And I look back and now, you know, a little questioning myself, but, I say all that to say, you know, we have seen over the last 2 weeks, like the curtain be pulled back on the DNC, the curtain be pulled back on the RNC. And it's not surprising that Kanye like pulls back the curtain and we find out that like handshakes are happening and like relationships that are supposed to be like mortal enemies are really chummy. Like, hey, you switch phone numbers. Like, didn't know that. Like, you still have the like Nashville number or whatever.
That was something that came
and
out.
It was just kind of like, you just kind of find out like all of these like storylines. Like, we live in the world of WWF wrestling where it's all storylines that are being fed to us and we're told who are enemies and who are not, and people make money off of those things. And so, you know, I'm one of the crazy people that think Kanye is not that crazy. I think he's actually really, really smart. And I think that Famous is actually a really, really good piece of art. So that side note to that. And I also think that Kim Kardashian is one of the dumbest people in this country. But she's just proved me wrong.
Because
up until this moment, I would have been like, she doesn't know something when it hits her in the face, and she's just all the tabloid material. That's what she is. Like, Newsweek is her favorite Kim. Publication. This girl is the most strategic.
She learned from the best.
You sat on a royal flush.
Yeah.
for multiple hands. You folded that royal flush when you could have cashed in months and months ago and shut Taylor Swift up, but you waited to when it can most benefit you.
That's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play the hand, and the world stops and goes, "Oh my lord!"
like wow,
Kim Kardashian knows exactly what's happening. And so, it's so funny to me because, again, I'm not surprised. Curtains get pulled back, handshakes are shown for what they are. I think the most thing that's most upsetting is that Taylor Swift just doesn't call it and say, "Got me."
Yeah.
Like, time to grow up, folks. Like, if you thought this was all fun and games right. and that, like, this was all real, like, time to tune into reality. Like, we all are friends and we all are like, this is a business.
Yeah.
And get with the business.
Which is weird because, in essence, almost verbatim, that's what she said she was going to do when presented with the lyric on that phone call. What she said is that, yeah, when they ask me about it, what I'll say is, surprise on you, he already read the lyric to me. I'm in on it or whatever, but yeah, didn't stick to that script.
So that's you gonna break script.
You gonna deviate?
Oh, okay, cool.
So, but no, I do think it's so interesting. I think your turnabout with your take on Kim Kardashian is definitely warranted. I think it's its own. She's the embodiment of that, like, let them think you're dumb, let them think you don't know, because it lowers the bar so much that they never see you coming. They mm-hmm. don't know, what's happening along those lines. I do, we'd be remiss without talking about how the fact that all of these people involved are egomaniacs.
Yes.
All of these people involved are narcissists to the utmost degree, right? And so they, by no means are we praising any inherent virtue, I think, of anybody involved.
That's a great point to be made.
But it is pretty, I couldn't help but find it hilariously funny.
I respect the strategy.
That day came out. And I was with you, Dan. I was like, yo, Taylor, like, you just got to hold this L today. Like, that's what you got to do. Like, you got served an L, and it would just behoove you to hold on to it for the next few hours, because something else will come along and we will move to someone else. But this, like, I might sue for character. You're only drawing out the L.
Can't
like,
do it.
You're just drawing it out. Just.
And Kanye is just sitting there laughing.
I mean, man.
Because he's like, you can't make this better for me.
Yeah.
Like, you are proving that the, like, because if she takes the L, right, and it's like, guys, we all know that my career is based on so much more than this one moment on stage that you guys keep bringing up. And so, and she could downplay the moment, downplay the song. It's not that big. Like, I made a big deal of it. And to be honest, as I look back, it was probably a nervous moment for me. And I just didn't want to be paying that light, whatever.
Yeah.
There is some PR person should have pulled her aside and done that. But they didn't have JP in their corner to don't do that, bro, that moment.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it was a life caddy.
And she was like, you know what I can do? I can basically lie my way out of this thing.
Man. I've been doing it all this time. Why would it stop now?
She turned 7 years old and tried to cover a lie with a lie with a lie. And it was just like.
Let me ask you. I'm going to ask you this, David. Have you ever been in a situation, and I feel like this is a very common thing among all teens, but I certainly know among teens of a certain age, when three-way calling was introduced as when you were a young kid, there was always there were times that plans were devised to call someone and then call another person, but have one of those people stay silent on the phone as you try to catch the other person in a lie. Have you ever been experienced any of that?
I'm so bored. That's never even
really.
Really?
Yeah, that was.
I'm so on that train.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I'm like, y'all looking at me like I'll be very disappointed.
Is that what it is? That's okay.
We're the same age, I think.
I'm 29.
I'm 29.
Oh man.
Yeah. See.
Yeah. But, so let me then pivot to you.
My football phone was the number one three-way silent phone.
Was that like a Dallas Sports Illustrated?
Dallas Cowboys football phone.
That is hilarious. But you've been through one of those experiences before. Sure.
It was never really catching people necessarily in a lie. It was always like when one of my buddies wanted to like holler at a girl, but he was too nervous to talk to the girl.
So what do you think about Jeff?
So hey, what do you think? Yeah, exactly. And then they get the insight. You don't have to break the bad news that she wasn't that into him. Right. And we can all move on with our lives.
Yeah, yeah. I had a homeboy. Anthony, who, I grew up with him. And he would call me, but he would have a phrase that I knew would let me know that, like, whoever he's asking me about is also on this phone call or whatever. I'm telling you, man.
That's a boy.
Yeah, man. We was out here doing, you know, Morris Code, Cloak and Dagger.
That's
out here.
What's up.
But yeah, it was a very real thing, man, growing up where, but I, you know, I couldn't help but think about that in this whole scenario. But she knew that, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe she didn't know. I think that's part of her claim for character assassination is that she was not aware of the fact that she was being recorded. But man,
can you really make that argument? Like, I wasn't aware that you were going to catch me in this lie and that is character assassination. No, like, and you know what? She doesn't do herself any justice by dating like some weird, like British dude.
Yeah.
Like, I think like she's deviating so far from the character that she plays on stage,
man,
that people are just like coming to grips with the fact, like,
ugh, we're done with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she's Michael Jackson in her way out of this thing.
It's there's a lot of just kind of movement she's made. I think it's also interesting, like, her, by no means am I, like, you know, going to be a staunch defender, certainly as a man, that women should be okay with being called out of their name, right?
Right.
But it's so hard to make that argument when you love to dance to Future at every award ceremony and you love to dance to every bit, love to claim your, like, affection for trap music and hood music, right, all the time. They are not calling women salt of the earth in any of those songs. And so the fact that was your issue, that was one of the issues that you brought out there. And then just the, you know, the whole, people have brought this out, the mining for personal life stuff. And I'm like, man, that is kind of the basis of your career.
Your whole life
is breaking up with these dudes and then writing albums
on the
them.
Street.
Yeah.
Like, and she doesn't make it unknown who she's talking about. Like, we know that album was about John Mayer. We know this album is about Calvin Harris.
Right.
Know, like,
right. Which is, yo, did y'all know that Calvin Harris is not his real name?
No.
And did you? Okay. So it's not his real name. I can't remember what his real name is. But his real name, but the fact that he is Calvin Harris is the fact, or he chose the name Calvin Harris because it sounded black.
Oh,
legitimately.
No. I always thought it was because of Calvin and Hobbes, which was my favorite comic growing up.
Huh.
That would be much better. Apparently, this fool thought, like, and apparently rightfully so since he's successful, but he was Calvin Harris sounds like a black dude, and his first single was like soul-ish pop or something like that. So he essentially just like Jamie Foxx the game and like was like, I'm gonna make people think I'm black on name alone and then get out here and I'm so very not black. Thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
I didn't know that.
You know, I don't mean to like completely like switch the topic.
Please.
To something. It brings us full circle to the full conversation. David had a tweet, Facebook post this past week, where he said the only thing that white culture hasn't co-opted from black culture is Black Lives Matter.
Oh man!
And I was like, and that just proves the point that Calvin Harris, who it couldn't make whiter music,
yes.
Originally found his roots by claiming the name of a black man.
His name is very white. His name is Adam Richard Wiles. Okay,
that's his name. He used to write poetry, not
something
me.
Something like that. But can we talk about that post for a second?
We can talk about that post.
Yo, so David put up that post, and I kind of want to call out that girl by name.
Don't call her by name.
Okay.
Don't call her by name.
Okay, you Dang. Know it. That's personal connects. I'm not going to do
don't
that.
Don't call her by name. But
that was very interesting.
Okay, so what's interesting? Because I actually don't know.
Okay.
I stayed away from the comment section of that post.
Probably
like
wise.
It was the play.
Yeah, I did for the most part. Like, I saw it and I was like, oh, that's pretty, like, astute. And then I, like, liked it and I just left it alone. And I came back a day or two later and I saw, like, 54, like, comments. Like,
well, there's a lot going on.
Let me read a few of these. And there was one comment in particular where David makes that statement and, you know, this person chimes in and says, I don't want to misrepresent her, but I believe she says, in essence, what about the white women?
Yeah, how about women's lives matter? The only thing no one's really run with, and people, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was basically why white women, and black women have it better than white women, and so on and so forth.
Like she took his statement and then jumped in and was just like, I hear what you're saying and all, but
I'm gonna let you finish. White women have had the most oppression.
Pretty much. That's what she came to the table to say. It was and then in her defense of her post, it didn't get better, in my estimation.
No.
From what I read.
Nah.
Because I think, you know, I saw one post in which she said something along the lines of just like about how no one, you know, the really tough thing about this whole race thing is that people keep talking about the race, but no one wants to talk about the fact that women are the one that are being, you know, women are the ones who are being
oppressed
the most or hurt the most in this entire world. And this is a very, I won't say a common topic, but it's an issue that comes up kind of relatively often, just because, especially in this country, there's a long history of, you know, suffrage rights among women, as well as, you know,
everyone's co-opted the civil rights movement at various points.
Absolutely. And there's these, like, you know, there was a very tenuous, interesting relationship between what Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass along those times and things like that. But not even getting to anything historical about it, it's always interesting how, like, intersectionality never comes up in that conversation, with the fact that when someone says that, they are never taking the fact that, hey, there are people who actually have two of those things going for them.
Yeah.
Meaning there are women who are black, which means if you're out there discounting someone complaining about race and your only thing that you're presenting is the fact that, well, women have it bad, well, then what you're ultimately saying is that, well, there's someone even under that who actually has both of those things working against them. And this woman on David's post could not grasp that concept for the life of her. And she dug her knees, feet, heels in. Against this. I want to say, though, you've met her, like, there was a personal encounter you had with her. I want to put her name.
Yeah, no, no, it was the first time I met her was at Star Bar. I was closing out a show.
Okay.
And I remember the joke was something on the lines of, like, I think this is a joke I had about how, like, black people are, like, we're like the Knicks, where we get, like, there's, like, two championships. Okay. You know what I mean? It's like Obama and Oprah. Like, that's, it's like, white people are like the Lakers. You know what I mean? So it's like, so I was saying, you know, I was something online. She was like, white women. And I remember she blurted out, started attacking me
from the stage.
From, yeah, well, I was on the stage and she,
from the audience, yeah, did this. Okay.
And, but the thing is, like, since she come to shows, she normally, you know, kind of talk, but, like, there's some sort of, like, civil, you know what I mean? Civilness after that. Like, I've told her, like, you know, hey, you're going too far. I'm the one, if you're not being belligerent, I'm the one you want to, because I will actually have a dialogue with you.
Okay.
Which, as you see from my post, everybody else is going in, and I'm just like, well, all right, I'm gonna put some judo on this. I'm gonna lay you down slowly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, like, I'm not here for blood.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not my
right.
thing.
Right.
You know, the other people can be, because there was another post I had where it was a gay dude coming at me about All Lives Matter, and that dude went in, and then people were going for blood. And my thing was, and I was like, he was like, how you not, I don't know. It was just weird. It was gotcha. Just weird that an oppressed group can't understand the idea of somebody saying, hey, stop doing this. It's very weird, right? Anyway, so it's interesting that you brought it up, because literally today before I got here, she texted me, was apologized.
Really?
For all of it.
Interesting. Look at that.
I just want to say this, and this is bigger. To me, the win anytime in these situations is, I'm not gonna come for blood. I want you to see what you're doing.
Yes.
So I'm gonna give you an opportunity. I want that opportunity, that space to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I will say that because of that, the way I go about it, I have two trolls who have since apologized to me about Facebook posts.
Look at that.
Who can say that? I've conquered the internet twice. I've conquered the internet twice, people.
Bravo.
You know what I mean?
Bravo.
So I'm just saying, man, like, we ain't got to all go for blood.
I love that so much because, you know, in this past week of watching the Republican National Convention and people watching my frustration, ignorance is the worst fucking disease in this country.
Okay.
And
tell me how you really feel.
And people choose it. It's like smoking cigarettes and people are surprised by the fact that they have lung cancer. It's like you are choosing to find ignorance and then claim it as your own, and it's destroying the very fabric that is this country.
Yeah.
Now, this country has a laundry list of issues. Mm-hmm. They were never ignorant until literally the last, like, their racism was owned, and that has its own issues, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously created a huge issue, but at the same time, it wasn't ignorant. Like, people just didn't pretend that things didn't exist. But the worst thing that can possibly happen for people now in this country is to say, I don't understand and I don't choose to understand, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. And it's so hard for me because it's not that hard of a thing to remedy. People like take these stances on social media, like all lives matter or whatever. But if they would sit down with, if they had like literally one African-American friend.
Yeah.
And sit down.
Friend,
and
not somebody just new.
Right, yeah. Because if you're the person that thinks that you have, that you're going to fix racism by having one black friend, like, yeah. Okay, get...
And let me be very clear. They're not your black friend if you can't talk to them about race. Me and you, Dan, we're friends because we can go there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's something that's not... And it's not like... I know you don't hate me. You're like, let's just work this out.
Right. Exactly.
There's so many people just like, I know a guy.
We've done it on the mic. We've done it off the mic.
Right.
The point is it's really not that hard of an issue in all areas, whether it be LGBTQ plus issues, mm-hmm. whether it be like black, white, Asian, like race issues in this country, you know, fill in the blank. Whenever you have an issue, it's so easily remedied by sitting down with someone that kind of holds to that group of people that situation that you don't understand, say, hey, I really want to understand this.
Yeah.
I have these preconceived notions to what I think might be true.
Right.
Will you just download your personal experience? You're not speaking for all black people. You're not doing this, but help me just better understand an individual story that can like give, like personify this thing that is, you know, statistically analyzed and, but the human element is stripped from all of these things so mm-hmm. often.
Yeah.
And if people would just sit and have a normal conversation, a respectful conversation, which this whole thing is why Four District exists.
Sure.
If you're just tuning in, so many things would be solved. And that's why I couldn't, like, it was painful to watch the RNC. It was painful. It's just painful to watch so much that's going on in this country, because so much of it is people are just spewing out of their own ignorance. And it's just like watching, I don't even have a good metaphor for like how terrible the like this spewing of just shit is.
Let's go with that.
Because people don't know what they're saying. They're just throwing out things. They're regurgitating from Fox News.
It's talking points, and we've removed the humanity of
people. Exactly, man.
And I'm
so
like,
upsetting.
Anytime,
man,
that's why people, like, it was crazy when it was happening. I literally had people like texting me, like, yo, why are you doing this? I'm like, because you will see me.
Yeah.
As this is happening, like, I'm not gonna hit you with the talking points that you're hitting me. You're gonna see me.
Yeah.
You're gonna see who I am as a person.
Yeah.
My heart behind this, and then we're gonna. And even you can fight me tooth and nail, but you're not gonna say that I hit you with some type of venom that you hit me with. It's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna retaliate that way.
That's dope.
And you know what I mean? And people are like, are you like I'm chill. Like, it does not bother me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not up here. I was literally on my grandma's porch sipping on a Faygo in Detroit.
Sure.
With my feet are relaxing, what was happening. You know what I mean? Where everybody's getting like,
this don't
faze me. So I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like in any of these discussions, you got to put the humanity back in. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
And you know, you can win the argument and lose the person. You know?
Yes.
And so you don't want to do that. I think that, you know, I think it's, you know, what you said is certainly on point, Dan. I think that, you know, I heard another quote, you know, around that time of, when it was Philando Castile and Alton Sterling and those killings that happened, I feel like there was a quote that someone said where they were just like, you know, if you have a black friend and you haven't checked on them mm-hmm. in the last few days, then you don't really have a black friend.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like if you haven't just said like, hey man, like how you doing? I had a couple homies just hit me up out of nowhere. Crumb, out of, you know, shout out mm-hmm. to formerly Plato hit me up, just like, yo, man, just want to check in with you, see how you're doing or whatever. But, you know, it's those things that I think, and certainly, like you said, it's why 4th District exists, all of that. And and I think even just, you know, to put a buttonhole on all of this, you know, I made a remark to this earlier, but Tragic Kingdom was No Doubt's album back in the day. And but the reason why they said they named it that is because they lived in, you know, next to, you know, Disney World. They lived next to the Magic Kingdom, right? And so what they, you know, growing up in that part of town, they, you know, they would see it after it shut down, and they would see like the back, like the behind the scenes part of it all. And so they were like, oh, this is the front facing of it, but this is how it looks on the back end of it.
Yeah.
And so they were like, man, there's actually kind of manipulation that goes on to present this otherworldly experience for all the visitors that experience it. You know what I mean? And so that's why they named it Tragic Kingdom, because they felt like life was that way a lot of times.
It was so crazy for me walking through, because they have like Main Street, which is like the main street USA is like the main street as you walk into Magic Kingdom, and then you see the castle. And on one level, I like tried to like kind of get in the mood with my nieces and my niece and nephew and enjoy it, and because their eyes lit up and they see their Mickey and all their heroes, whatever. But at the same time, you're walking down the street and you realize that the buildings are like a foot and a half thick.
Yeah.
And you just realize, like, you have this moment of, this is so fake.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh shit, this is the country. Like, this isn't just here.
Yeah.
Like, these facades exist everywhere. And you know where they exist most is in these Facebook posts propping up Trump, that it's just like, I'm going to put out this picture that this is a good candidate, or that my life, or social media in general, that my life looks like this, and the facades are foot and a half thick, and they don't stand up to real life and the wrongful deaths of innocent people, and like there are systems that we've tried to invent that fit into this fake mold. They don't hold up, and they strip the humanity, because if we actually give these people the humanity that they deserve,
right.
Then it forces us to rip down these facades.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we're not willing to do it, because we all want to believe that it is real. And we'll freaking die on the hill to say that it is real. And don't you dare tell me that building right there, that I can't walk through the front door. You know what? I don't even want to walk through the front door. I'm just going to stand here the rest of my life and tell you that it's a real building and Mickey lives on the other side of it. Meanwhile, Mickey just took his head off and smoking a cigarette next to a pile of trash, and we're okay with it. And it's like, man, that it's such a good metaphor for this country is the American dream, and there are very real dreams here. On a future podcast, we're going to talk about, you know, the ability as you know, for with show here, entrepreneurs, artists chasing their dreams. Yeah. The American dream, in the sense of having the freedom to pursue your dream, is a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a hard thing. But there's a facade that is the quote unquote, the air quotes American dream that we're told that we need to buy into, that is an establishment that maintains power for a certain group of people. And that is the lie of the American dream that we're told that we need to buy into and we need to maintain. And it's killing people, and it's propping up, and it's from the kind of the funny Taylor Swift moments, that all of a sudden we find out that this feud between Kanye and Taylor Swift is really fake, and that's a facade. And it goes all the way up to the worst things that police are here to protect us. It's all fake.
Absolutely, man. On that note, we are gonna wrap that part up. We're gonna go to our scratch of the week real quick.
Yeah.
And on some positivity. Sorry.
Yes, right. Yeah. All the good. How about you start us off, Mr. Purdue? All
right, my scratch of the week, man. I want to shout out real quick. When if you haven't seen it, go look at Van Jones' meeting. Was it InfoWars?
InfoWars. Alex Jones and InfoWars.
Alex Jones InfoWars. Just look that up. That's like my just aside to my real scratch of the week. I want to shout out a former guest on Off the Record, my boy Ismail Lutfi.
Yeah.
Was just announced that he is one of Montreal Just for Laughs New Faces, which means Montreal Just for Laughs is the biggest comedy festival in the world.
Yeah.
Me and him a few weeks ago had auditions for it. He did really well in the Laughing Skull Festival, and they just announced that he was one of, I think there's 15 or 20 new faces, man, across the country.
Wow.
Unrepped new faces.
Yeah.
No, have no representation.
Wow.
And you up there with the big bucks. Like, you're hanging out like Louis up there. Kevin, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, sure. All the greatest of the greats in comedy do this festival.
That is amazing.
And my dude Ismail, who was on the show in the past episode,
yeah,
speaking about Islam
ISIS
and ISIS and all,
yep,
of that. Mm-hmm. Very intellectual, very smart dude, but one of the funniest people I've ever met. I mean, you're going to know his name. He's one of the funniest people I've ever seen on stage. Just a young baby-faced assassin. And just want to shout him out. Scratchery, Ismail Lufi, congratulations on New Faces, man. I'm proud of you, dude.
That's what's up, man. We need to find another reason to get him to come back on.
I try to get him to talk about sports, which he knows nothing about, which I think would be dope. Like, just get people
who awesome.
Don't know.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Yeah, he in an educational and funny way, helped us tackle ISIS, which,
yeah,
is to single-handedly do that.
He's so young. He's like 23. Like, really, it doesn't make
crazy.
Any sense. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's the future.
That is what's up.
Yeah.
Dan, do you have your scratch of the week?
Yeah, I can go. So, talking about Kanye, I just want to give some love to my boy Rance Nix. He is a grinder, aspiring actor, model, up in New York. He actually was in Yeezus season 3. Was that the last season? Was that this past year?
Mm-hmm.
So it was in Yeezus season 3. He is a hardcore advocate for kind of little people. Mm-hmm. He's a little dude. Mm-hmm. But man, his heart is the biggest dude I've ever met. And he moved up to New York a year ago and has grinded through probably one of the hardest years I've watched through social media and other things, just mm-hmm. him just trying to make it, like, make ends meet up there. But man, he is pursuing his dreams and making it and making huge strides, and people are starting to pay attention. He's got some really cool things going. So if you don't know who Rance Nix is, just follow him on social media. Put in Rance Nix in Google. You'll find him. So
that's dope. That's really, really dope. Shout out Rance Nix. Shout out Ismail. My scratch of the week, really quick, I just want to give a quick, small shout out as an aside as well to some really good friends of mine recently got engaged. George 2.0, Jovi, they recently got engaged, I think like a couple days ago or whatever, but I'm really excited about them, so I just wanted to publicly shout them out. But also, the year is 2016. 20 years ago, 1996, was an amazing year for hip-hop music, actually. It was just like a crazy, crazy year where there were so many amazing releases. And I'm talking about everything from like early in the year where you had Tupac, All Eyes on Me, coming out the same day as the Fugees, The Score. But then that throughout that summer, you had Nas, It Was Written. You had Jay, a little dude by the name of Jay-Z, came out with an album called Reasonable Doubt. You had, De La Soul came out with Stakes Is High. You had Tribe Called Quest came out with Beats, Rhymes, and Life. You had Busta Rhymes, a solo debut with The Coming. You had Outkast, AT Aliens, I think, was that year as well. It's just so many releases. But all of that is to say, I'm not talking about hip hop this time. I'm actually talking about 20 years ago, as of like, I think it was Sunday. There was an amazing record by the singer-songwriter Fiona Apple, her debut album, which was called Title. And it's an album that I go back to like probably at least once a year, and I just listen to like ad nauseum for like 3 or 4 days, just like, this is amazing. Like, I mean, there's so much like angst and beauty and amazing writing, and, you know, just as someone who enjoys that piece. So I just want to kind of give a shout out, scratch to Fiona Apple, who also, you know, coincidentally falls in line with the theme of this night, because when she won her her first award, she got on stage and basically said, "This is all bullshit." Like, she was like, she looked at the audience and said, like, "None of this matters. You're looking up to all these people. We don't know anything better than you all." Like, it was very interesting. And aside from that, she's gone on to release other great, wonderful work as well too. But I, you know, when you go back to an artist's roots and you kind of remember what made you fall in love with them, that is what I did with Tidal. So I would just shout out again to go out and listen to, if you haven't, Fiona Apple, the album Tidal, Sleep to Dream, First Taste, all these amazing songs on there. So that's my shout out. So my scratch of the week. That's it, fellas.
We did it.
We did it. We did it. We got it together. We
did.
We're going to try to bring this thing back together and see if we can bring, what's that fool's name?
There's no other people.
I forgot too.
None, if y'all know, let us know.
Yeah, if y'all if know remember, him, tweet us. And tweet let us. Yeah. Matter of fact, tweet us and him.
Yeah.
And let us and him know.
Because we forgot.
We don't remember that dude. We don't remember nothing about him. So, nonetheless, though. That's it, y'all. This is Off the Record, 4th District. Dan Duncan, David Perdue, I'm a Don Bean. Check us out somewhere, sometime, doing something.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Lights low and the curtains open, and I'm the maestro for this certain moment. Trying to take it sky high, so go alert the stoners. Fear got your guy almost on the verge of blowing it. Bravos, I hear the hand claps, and I know that this here could be my last chance. And I can't ever remember having this chance last. And in this second, this moment here will be past tense. Man, I'm past tense. I'm on the edge of a classic, but slacking got me on the edge of a has-been. Too passive. Gotta snatch this moment before I pass it and face this test like Steve Nash and pass it. I would not be crippled. Cast loaves in the oceans. Gotta see ripples. Excuses are useless. Tools that the fools pick. Only got one shot, but it feels like a full clip. This one moment, patiently waiting in line just to get on it. These players hating on me, I gotta let it go. Put me in the game, coach, I got some better goals. This game's so foul, it's sort of pitiful. Tell your people, go and grab a stone and get a free throw. And let them know, I love the Lord. But sometimes it's like that, I love me more. Seek his applause, break all your laws. We tear the roof off, homie, we don't need no doors. So now, I stand on top of this. Fear. I have strength in my esophagus. Hear me roar like a young lion. A team called Iron, a product from new science. My confession ain't no fear in me now. Just like an usher, it's my job to move crowds. Once upon a time, I lived in a world that was bound by fear. Escaped his hold, now life's reset. Then I was given grace to break the enemy's net. It's time for the conquerors. Oh, it's my turn? Excuse me, the monster's up. Foe slaying, cruising in this monster truck. It's no playing, giving bruises in this Tonka truck. My circle's where the riders is. A couple Paul and Silas is, and Leonidas is. Kinda sickening how bold this virus is. No sniffling, but so cold like sinuses. Make room for the misses, the crew full of misfits. Peruse your policies and hack through ISIS. Intrude your embassies, sneak food to your listeners. Pilots, provisioners, and suicide bombers. Musical monsters, martyrs, quick to die for a Zion. Yeah, this is our moment. We're facing our fear, cause faith has appeared. So baby, we'll take you from here. You know.